From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Rideshare drivers on Tuesday rallied in various cities, including Los Angeles and San Francisco, in support of the PRO Act, a House bill that just passed that would help workers unionize. Drivers with companies like Uber and Lyft have faced well-funded opposition from their multi-million dollar employers to organize in any way, including to be treated as employees. The Washington Post on Tuesday revealed how rideshare drivers received $80 million of COVID-related economic relief, even as Uber and Lyft refused to pay into unemployment funds. My guest is Tyler Sandness. He is a Lyft driver and a member organizer for Rideshare Drivers United, based in Los Angeles. Welcome to the program, Tyler.
Thank you so much. I'm very happy to be here.
So tell me about this rally that took place on Tuesday. I understand several cities in California were host to some of these rallies, and you were asking for or showing your support for the PRO Act.
That's right. So Rideshare Drivers United is an organization that represents 20,000 drivers here in the state of California. And this Tuesday, we had three of our sister chapters in San Francisco, Los Angeles, and San Diego perform public actions to really draw attention to, one, the issue around the unemployment crisis that drivers have had to face with a lot of difficulty of getting access to the assistance they needed, in part because Lyft and Uber has refused to recognize our employment status and pay into those programs like any other employer would, as well as to really show that we need the right to organize. That gig work really is not that different from traditional work, but the only difference really being that we don't have the same accesses to collectively bargain contracts or be able to advocate for ourselves like any other employee normally would. So,
and the framework for that, right, the background for that is that California recently voted against a ballot measure that would have forced Uber and Lyft to treat its drivers as employees, because they basically poured millions and millions of dollars into convincing Californians that it was actually something that would hurt drivers. So they prevented you from being treated as employees. So you were forced to be treated as contract workers. And then, of course, gig workers like rideshare drivers have been struggling like others and had to rely on COVID relief funds. This Washington Post article on Tuesday is really interesting. It showed how gig workers, how it was unusual for such a vast pool of workers under the umbrella of multi-billion dollar corporations to tap into money intended for the U.S. Small Business Administration loans program. So it sounds as though Uber and Lyft are doing what Walmart and Amazon have done for a very long time, pay workers incredibly poor wages, which are then forced to be subsidized by the government and by taxpayers.
That's mostly correct. So the background a little bit is that drivers were able to get a law called AB5 passed here in the state of California that went into effect in January of 2020. And that forced gig companies like Lyft and Uber to recognize us as employees and to pay benefits into those systems. Lyft and Uber did not like that. They treated it as a threat to their business model. So they invested $200 million in a public relations campaign to get Prop 22 passed. And Prop 22 specifically.
Thank you for that clarification. You're right. I erroneously stated that the proposition failed, but it passed overturning AB5. Thanks.
That is absolutely correct. And they spent an unprecedented $200 million in order to convince Californians that this was good for workers, when instead it was robbing them of employment rights. So we actually get less rights under Prop 22 than we get under AB5. But really, it was for them to kind of maintain their business models. And all the while, drivers were treated as employees by the state, had access to these unemployment funds, because frankly, they've earned them. Like any other employee, they work hard and they should have the kind of safety net in place to be able to protect their livelihoods in the case of an emergency like COVID-19. But Lyft and Uber have done very little to nothing to pay their fair share into the public coffers. And the people that are stuck footing the bill are really the California taxpayer, mm-hmm. who are now responsible for covering up the difference that Lyft and Uber are refusing to pay. And frankly, it's just another demonstration that we see all over the United States, where private companies try to shove expenses onto the public taxpayer, but then privatize profits. So that way, the taxpayer is essentially subsidizing these companies who just choose to not pay their fair share.
Remind us of the PRO Act. It was something that the House had already passed a year ago. Then it, mm-hmm. of course, languished in the Senate under Republican control. It passed the same bill again. And mm-hmm. How could this act, if it were to pass the U.S. Senate and be signed into law, benefit Uber and Lyft drivers?
So that's a great question. And really what it does is that it gives gig workers the right to organize. So the PRO Act stands for Protect the Right to Organize Act. And it does a lot of things for unions in general, but specifically in the gig economy, is that it gives folks who are classified as independent contractors the right to collectively bargain like any other union. To be able to form a union, be able to then come to the table with our employers and come to an agreement that actually works for both sides. Because right now, it's really a one-sided argument where the companies will release the terms of service, oftentimes unannounced, and even more oftentimes like during the middle of a shift. So drivers are given basically a 25-page terms of service that is their contract with the company in the middle of their shift. So this has happened to me where I'm like working, it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. All of a sudden I get a notice on the app saying Lyft is sending out a new terms of service. And I now have a choice. I can now spend the next 45 minutes reading through that legalese and really understanding what I'm signing away, or I can just hit the accept button because I don't have 45 minutes to waste because I have to make enough money in order to afford rent at the end of this month. That's not really a way to handle a contract. Especially given the fact that they like to call us independent contractors, but a true independent contractor would have the right to, you know, actually set their own terms with this company. So if they're not going to give us the ability to negotiate our own terms individually, then we deserve the right to collectively negotiate those terms. And the way to do that is through a union, and the PRO Act gives us that right to unionize.
Even if the workers are not classified as employees, the PRO Act, as it is currently written, would specifically empower gig workers or contract workers?
So that is correct. It would empower gig workers to be able to negotiate. Though there is a bigger conversation around whether or not we are misclassified. A lot of us believe that we are properly classified as employees. And that this would all be like that we should already have the right to organize as is. But the PRO Act is looking at the 21st century economy. It's looking at the imbalance between workers and companies and recognizing that companies are really trying to change the classification of workers to a status that has less rights, less bargaining, less, frankly, power in their relationship with their employers. And the PRO Act is seeking to rebalance that for the 21st century. That in the face of these new economy where gig companies and other companies are looking at these different employment models, that it still gives workers the right to be able to balance that power out so that we're not just at the whims of these multi-billion dollar multinational companies, but that we can properly abdicate for ourselves and come to a fair agreement about what's going to work for both parties. Because again, right now, it's really only what's going to work for Lyft and Uber. They don't really care whether or not it works for drivers or not.
And of course, we should mention that there is a stronger push for unionizing among low-wage workers around the country. Not surprising given the state of the economy. There's currently a critical vote happening in Alabama right now with Amazon warehouse workers in Bessemer, Alabama, that over the course of several weeks are voting on the right to form a union. This is something that has received the support of President Joe Biden. And it is, you know, a very high-profile struggle where there's all eyes on it. What are the special circumstances under which rideshare workers in particular have had to work during the pandemic. Of course, essential workers in general have been hit so hard over this past year. But I think one of the incidents that stands out at me was a recent incident in San Francisco where an immigrant driver for a rideshare company was the victim of a horrific, hateful incident where his mask was pulled off by several women who were riding in his car, pepper sprayed. And it just, I think, highlighted the challenges that rideshare drivers are facing during the pandemic.
Absolutely. The pandemic has hit us really, really hard. I remember that first week, about a year ago, almost exactly a year ago, where drivers were telling me that they'd lost 95% of their business overnight. And you have people that are working like they've got to make rent for April. And all of a sudden, the job that they were doing to try to take care of themselves that already wasn't paying them all that much money, all of a sudden evaporated overnight. And for those who tried to continue on, for those who tried to stick it out and try to make what they could, they saw substantially less earnings in an industry that all of a sudden became even more risky to their own personal safety than it had been before. There have been a lot of stories over the past couple of years of drivers being assaulted by customers. It's already kind of a dangerous job. You're letting a perfect stranger into your car already. And now all of a sudden with COVID, which is this invisible killer, it became a much more dangerous line of work to be engaged in. And we had very little support from the companies. The companies like to kind of send stuff out saying that, oh, we're taking care of our drivers, or we're providing equipment to provide for them. But the fact is that most drivers never saw those benefits. And drivers had to do what they've always been expected to do, which is they had to take PPE as another expense that they had to take care of themselves with no compensation from the companies. So they had to invest in plastic shielding between the driver's seat and the passenger seat. They had to provide their own masks, their own hand sanitizer. And you can imagine the financial burden of already on a market that's seen significant decline in ridership. And now you have to add extra overhead on top of that just to protect yourself from catching this virus. And even those folks who tried their best to kind of maintain their safety, it still wasn't enough. And I've unfortunately known a few drivers this past year who've lost their lives to COVID-19 just because of the inherent risk of having another person in your car in a closed environment who you can't tell if they have the virus or not, or you might be carrying an infected person to the hospital because that person can't afford an ambulance. So really, it's been a risky business this whole time, riskier than it had already been. And the incident in San Francisco is a really good example of just how we really are kind of at the mercy of the public and the people that we let into our vehicles. And if we do take somebody that for whatever reason feels that it's feel like it's a really good idea to assault their driver, I never imagine why that would ever be considered a good idea. We're really at the mercy of that person with very, very little support from the companies on the repercussions.
Tyler, are you hopeful with the change in the administration that the next couple of years could bring some needed changes, some labor protections for rideshare drivers? I mean, we, you know, have a Democratic establishment in the White House that pays lip service to organized labor and relies on them for support. There's a growing hunger for union organizing and more support for it among the public as well. And we no longer have, at least in the White House, a, you know, really unpredictable and very cruel administration that we've had for 4 years.
Mm-hmm. So there is hope, but it's going to require follow through, right? So unions came out big for President Biden and Vice President Harris. They put a lot of their hope in that this administration was really going to finally, for the first time in decades, take the challenges of unionized workers seriously and really look to them to support them after so many years of feeling like they had been sidelined by traditional political parties. Now is really the time for that administration to demonstrate their seriousness to the promises they made last year. And we know that there are some uphill challenges, that the Democratic Party is not entirely unified behind this. There are certain senators, I can definitely point to someone like Joe Manchin, who has demonstrated some hostility to ideas like this. But I think that it's important for the Democratic Party as a whole to realize is that they continue to look to unionized workers as a solid base that helps them win elections, but they have to start delivering. Because over 40 years of neoliberal economic policy has left workers in a far worse state now than they were in the mid-70s. And if there isn't some substantial change, if Democrats don't take this challenge seriously of starting to deliver policies that are substantially and materially improving the conditions of working people across this country, then all that they're doing is teaching the people that voted for them in 2020 that it doesn't matter who they vote for because nothing will ever change. So I am hopeful. I hope that they take this challenge seriously, but now is the time to really start demonstrating that what they promised was real and not just lip service.
Where can people find out more about Rideshare Drivers United, and what would you want from the public who believes in the right of drivers and workers in general to organize and have better rights?
Thank you so much. So folks can learn more about us at www.drivers-united.org. And in terms of public support, I think that one big thing that they could be doing right now that's absolutely free is call their senators and demand that they pass the PRO Act. The Senate is really going to be the place in which this bill lives and dies. And it's going to really be up to the public support demanding that their representatives in the Senate adopt this bill and that this becomes law. So that's the one thing that I can ask everybody here to do. Aside from that, if you're a really awesome person and you really want to take this fight seriously, we're always looking for people to donate to us. And they can learn more about how they can donate at, again, www.drivers-united.org.
And if you use a rideshare service, please be polite, wear a mask,
yeah.
Be kind to your driver, and give them a big tip.
100%.
It's the very least that can be done.
Absolutely. Uber and Lyft have trained their customers well to not tip. Always tip, and always tip generously.
Thank you so much, Tyler. Appreciate it. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
My guest has been Tyler Sandness. He is a Lyft driver and member organizer for Rideshare Drivers United, based in Los Angeles. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.